Integrated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Knowing the Holy Spirit. And now with the Word, here's Brother John.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I've just got a brief word that the Lord wants me to deposit. And this is not an interruption in the flow of the Spirit. This is just to take what God is wanting to do to even a higher level. I'm going to be sharing all this week as the Holy Spirit directs about the person, the work, ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's just been a wonderful time for Bev and I these last few days. It's a wonderful time for me. I haven't been as aware of the hand of the Lord upon me in a long time as I'm experiencing in these days. And I want to talk about the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. The overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. I believe tonight He wants to come and overshadow us with the cloud of the Shekinah glory of God's presence. I believe some of you are going to see it visibly, and some of you are going to just know that the overshadowing cloud of His presence is over you. And we don't just want it in the building, we want it over us as individuals. When Gabriel came to Mary and gave her the announcement of the baby that was going to be born, in verse 34 she says, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest, the Most High, will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The King James Version follows the Greek more accurately. "Therefore that thing that shall be born of you shall be holy and will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. You know, I used to read that as sort of like a Hebraic couplet. In Hebrew poetry, you have a couplet with two phrases that mean the same thing. But the Spirit of God began to speak to me and say they don't mean the same thing. The second part is the effect of the first. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God's talking to me a great deal in these days about the Holy Spirit coming upon. I hope He's going to let me preach about that. He started by just drawing my attention a few weeks back to Isaiah 61 and verse 1, where it says of Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." The act of God is to anoint us, and the effect of that act is for the Spirit to come upon us. Now, here, Gabriel is saying, and of course he's the spokesman from the presence of God. He had told Zacharias that when Zacharias had responded in unbelief. He said, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to tell you this, that shall be fulfilled in its proper time." So he's speaking the word of God, and here's what he said. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the effect of the Holy Spirit coming upon you is going to be power overshadowing you." When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there is an overshadowing of the power of God. And the purpose of it in Mary was that the word, the promised word that she was receiving of the baby that was going to be born, for that word to come to conception, it took supernatural power, and that power was going to be the power of the Most High that was going to overshadow her and that was going to bring life to that seed so that the baby could be formed in her womb and brought to the birth through her. The power of God overshadowing me, therefore, is to produce in me what God has spoken by His Word and what I cannot possibly produce in myself. Something supernatural, something that is holy, and something that looks like God. See, and I want you to hear this, because we have so limited God by the limitations of the awareness of what we are able to do. And God says, my power is going to come upon you in order to accomplish that which you cannot accomplish in yourself. Mary said, how can this be since I know not a man? The circumstances are not right. The situation is not conducive to this taking place in the natural. And Gabriel says, it's okay, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And when the Spirit comes upon you, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. Overshadow means simply this, that you are engulfed and overwhelmed by the greater presence of the power of the Most High. See, right now, we haven't been overwhelmed and engulfed by that presence. And as a result of that, we can still dissolve into self-consciousness in the midst of the visitation of God. Oh, am I distracting somebody with this laughter? Are people looking at me? See, God wants to overshadow you till you totally lose consciousness of yourself and your total awareness is of His overshadowing power over you. And you couldn't care less what you look like and what people think about you. See, He's got to bring us beyond all the limitations of the self-consciousness. But how can I do this? How can I produce this baby? I don't even have a husband. Look at me. It's okay. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Man, I tell you what. Woo! God told me tonight, He said, son, you're preaching prophetically. You're preaching prophetically. I'm preaching that which is still going to become a reality in the church of Jesus Christ in a dimension that you cannot believe. I mean, God is going to so overshadow and so overwhelm us that we are going to lose all consciousness of our finiteness, our smallness, and we're going to become so conscious of how big He is that we're just going to step out in the supernatural and do things that are going to blow the doors off hell.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
That's why Jesus returned to the Father, so that the Spirit could come. And in our pastor's meeting this afternoon, we were discussing this whole thing. God's purpose is not to give the Holy Spirit with measure. He poured on Jesus an anointing, John says in John chapter 3, on Him the Father has poured out the Spirit without measure. Now, we are the body of Christ, and therefore we have that same anointing that was on Jesus, the Son of God, without measure, without measure, without measure. And I'm telling you, I've just got this incredible sense of this overwhelming, overshadowing power, and I like the way He says it, of the Most High. There ain't anyone higher. There ain't any higher power, any higher authority, anybody higher, anything higher. I mean, we're touching the highest up. We're touching the highest echelon of authority and power. And Gabriel says, the power of that one, the Most High. There is no authority higher than His. There is no power greater than His. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. All right, let's move on. It gets better. It gets better. Turn to Matthew 17. Whew. Matthew 17. Jesus had made a statement to His disciples, some of you are not going to die before you see the coming of the kingdom of God. And then it says he takes three of his disciples and he goes up the mountain. And he is transfigured before the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And the Bible describes what he looks like. Verse 2. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. And his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appear to them, talking with him. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, the two greatest men of revelation in the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. If you were looking for the greatest men in the Old Testament times, you can't look any further than Moses and Elijah. Both were men who went into the presence of God and were touched by the presence of God and moved in great anointing and power and authority. Moses went up into the presence of God. His face was transformed. Elijah came out from the presence of God and stood in front of a wicked king and said, "Thus says the Lord God, before whom I stand." He was so aware of his position in the presence of God. And now these two appear to Jesus as Jesus is on the mountain and he's conversing with them with this glorious presence reflecting in Jesus that the Bible says his face shone like the sun and his clothes shone, became as white as the light. Now, Peter wakes up. I'm telling you, get ready for some revelation that God is absolutely intent on the church hearing in these days. Peter wakes up and he sees Moses and Elijah with Jesus and he is overawed by the situation. He doesn't know what to say, the Bible says, and so he just says this, "Lord, let's build three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." In other words, let's just hang out here with this glorious moment. And God does something incredible. Because the Bible tells us that verse 5, while he was still speaking, that's Peter, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Why did God get so excited? Why did he get so, react, as it were, so, in a sense, violently, passionately to Peter's words when Peter just, for want of something to say, said, "Lord, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Why does God react, and while he's still speaking, suddenly a cloud covers them, and Moses and Elijah are whipped away, and a voice speaks out of the cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Why did God do that? The reason is very simple. It is because man has always set others on a par of authority with the Son of God. We tend to put Professor so-and-so and Dr. so-and-so and Preacher so-and-so and Reverend so-and-so on a par of authority with God. Well, I know the Bible says that, but my preacher said. Well, I know that's what's in the Bible, but I read a book that said, so what? See, and here's what I'm hearing the Lord saying. We're not going to see the cloud of His glory overshadowing us until we're willing to put away every other voice of authority And we get right down to the realization that Jesus has absolute authority. What he says is authority within the church. And we aren't going to discuss it. We aren't going to debate it. We aren't going to get a consensus about it. We're not going to vote about it. We're not going to have a deacon's meeting or an elder's board meeting about it. If Jesus said it, his word is final authority in the church of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing Bev and I have learned as we've walked in this, is this: God's word is not up for discussion. And God is not going to trust anointing to people who can't take the word of God and simply run with it because they know his voice. God is not going to give revelation to those who must first discuss it with people and get consensus of the group about whether this is God or whether this is not God, whether this is a good idea or not a good idea. I'm telling you people, it's time for us to run with the vision. It's time for us to run with the word. If God says it, that settles it. It doesn't matter what brother so-and-so thinks and sister Blabbermouth thinks about it. If God says it, we're going. We're going. We are moving. It's time we tore down the tabernacles that we've raised up to the leadership of the past, to those who felt like they always had an opinion about everything. And we take the word of the Son of God and say, if he said it, God said, hear him. And I'm telling you, it's a very strong word from the Lord. Because many of us are being held back in our spiritual pilgrimage because we're so worried about what so-and-so has said and what that person said and the traditions that I've come out of and what my denominational leadership said and all the rest of it. And I'm telling you, none of them are on a par with Jesus, and you dare not put them there. That's idolatry. And we have done that in the past. And God says, I'm coming with an overshadowing cloud of my glory, and I'm going to snuff out those who have set themselves up on a par. I mean, Moses and Elijah were great men, but you know what? God whipped them out of the scene. And the Word of God says that when it was all over, the disciples saw no one but Jesus only. And I'm telling you, God is not going to share the glory of His Son with anybody else. And if we dare elevate anyone else, it doesn't matter who it is. If it's Moses, Elijah, Benny Hinn, or anyone else, you don't dare elevate any man. Put him on a par with Jesus. Jesus alone is going to be exalted in these days. And I'm telling you, if any man is lifted up, God is going to expose their clay feet, because he won't share his glory with anybody else. And it's time for the church to grow up and quit building tabernacles to anointed people. Why do we do that? Why do we get so excited? Instead of magnifying Jesus, we lift up man. And the overshadowing cloud of God is about to visit his church. Oh, we better be careful what we're saying. We better be careful who we're exalting and who we're quoting as authority, because the cloud of His presence, and I believe with many of the commentators that that cloud is just a representation of the Holy Spirit of God. Just as in Luke chapter 1, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The cloud that overshadows them on that Mount of Transfiguration is the Holy Spirit. He just comes like a cloud. He is the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth in these days. And he comes and he overshadows them. And Elijah and Moses are removed. And they say they see Jesus only. I don't know how this all fits together, but running with this message in my spirit all day today has been a word that I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit put it together. I've been alarmed, and this seed was planted in my spirit 2 weeks ago in Hereford when somebody made a statement. And I've been meditating on this virtually daily since then, and it's bothered me a great deal. And that is this: why didn't John the Baptist, the moment Jesus appeared, why didn't he lay down his ministry and become the first disciple of Jesus? Why did John keep up his ministry and keep making disciples? You know, John said in John chapter 3, he must increase and I must decrease. But we have a real hard time putting that into practice. We have a real hard time laying down something that becomes so precious to us and something that God has used in a past day, and we think God surely is not going to reject this. After all, I mean, look how he used that. I mean, he wouldn't expect me to walk away from that. See, that's been the curse of the church. That God will use something, will bless something, and we cannot recognize when the cloud moves on. And we still cling to what is intrinsically something from the old. You see, the old covenant was wonderful. It was given by God. It was mediated to Moses by angels. And yet there comes a point where Hebrews chapter 8 says the old covenant is obsolete. And the Jews said, we're not going to let it go. And if you oppose it, we'll kill you. And so they killed the Son of God who said, hey, it's obsolete. I've come to fulfill the law. I've come to take it out the way. Are you greater than Moses? Yes. Are you greater than Abraham? Yes. Before Abraham was, I am. Can't be. How can we just suddenly see the whole wonderful Mosaic law pushed aside for something new? They couldn't let go of that which was old and what the Bible says was obsolete and passing away. And I'm telling you, that's the problem of the church. Because we say, oh, bless God, this move of God. I'm telling you, there's a fresh move of God in the earth, and it's gone beyond Toronto even. It's gone beyond Rodney Howard Brown even. It's gone beyond everything. There's a fresh move of God, and it's time to move along. It's time to move on. See, the problem if you cling to your ministry is this. You keep on making disciples like John did, and eventually you get to Acts chapter 19 where Paul comes to Ephesus and he finds some disciples there and he says, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we didn't even know there's the Holy Spirit. He said, to what baptism have you been baptized? John's baptism. Do you realize that there were some disciples of John that never got incorporated into Pentecost and were still going into the Gentile world preaching John's baptism because John never set the pattern of laying down his ministry and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus? He carried on making disciples, and so his disciples missed all of Pentecost and were going out into the heathen world and were making disciples of John and baptizing them with John's disciples, as John's disciples. What a tragedy. Well, I don't want to lay down my ministry. I mean, look how God blessed me there. You know, why should I lay down? I'm telling you, it's time to march. It's time to move. I'm telling you, it's time to move. Bless God. And I'm telling you this, if God says it's over with buildings, can we let our buildings go and move out where Jesus is in the marketplace? See, it's like, well, God's, you know, this is a beautiful building. I mean, we sunk millions of dollars into it. You know, it could be, listen to me, it could well be in 5 years' time, buildings are redundant in the kingdom. And we're meeting in stadiums every Sunday because God's bringing His whole body together. And the stadium is the only place where we can all come together and accomplish what Jesus. And there's going to be a bunch of empty buildings. And you know what? They're going to be people sitting in them saying, it wouldn't be God to go out there. We've got to meet over here. I mean, my grandpappy put money into this building. I mean, I was married in here. I was baptized in here. This building is holy. See, the cloud's coming. Moses and Elijah are going to be whipped away. Those things that we've clung to. And I'm telling you, I'm so challenged by John the Baptist. I'm so challenged because I want to have the kind of heart that says, Lord, if I see your glory on another man's ministry, I want to be willing to lay down my ministry and support him. If the glory of God is on him, well, I want to align myself with him. I don't want to cling to my little ministry over here. If you've moved on over there, I want to run where you are. I'm telling you, God knows that's true in my heart. I've dealt with it these past days. Would I be willing to lay down my ministry if I saw a man who had the glory of God on him and God said, go and join yourself to him because he's got something to impart to you. Can I lay down my ministry and just attach myself to someone? John couldn't. John couldn't. Yeah. And that's why he ended up with disillusionment. That's why he had to send his followers to Jesus, asking Jesus the question, Jesus, are you the one we're looking for, or should we look for another one? And Jesus, in that hour, the Bible says, he healed all the sick, made the lame to walk, and so on. Then he said to John's disciples, go and tell him what you just saw. The lame walked, the blind were made to see, and all the poor had the gospel preached to them. And then he said this, blessed is he who is not offended at me. See, if John had been hanging around Jesus, he would have seen the works and known that he's the Messiah. But he carried on with his ministry, and so he always had this, I wonder if he's the one. I wonder if he's the one. And he was offended. He was offended. Jesus wouldn't have said, blessed is he who is not offended, if he didn't know that John was battling with an offended spirit. I'm telling you, it's challenging. Now, let's go on to the next reference that the Spirit of God has been burning in my heart. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. Well, I want the overshadowing presence of the power of God, the Holy Spirit and power, overshadowing. Now, here's an incredible verse of Scripture. Remember when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says his face shone like the sun. We read in Revelation that in the city of God that Isaiah saw, the New Jerusalem, there is no need for the sun because, he says what? The Lamb in the midst thereof is the light of the city. Here's Peter and the other disciples, but it specifies about Peter. Peter has had his Shekinah glory encounter with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has come upon him in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God has been manifest to him in a tongue of fire settling on his head. Somebody saw that in the meeting in Roswell we were in last July. This lady saw tongues of fire on everybody's head. Well, not on everybody. There were some that were excluded, but many of the people in the church, there were tongues of fire, and she saw them. The tongue of fire had settled on Peter's head, and suddenly a Holy Ghost boldness had come on Peter. Peter, the one who was timid, who denied Jesus before a little girl, who said, you're one of his. And he had denied Jesus with oaths and curses. Now that same self-conscious Peter, who was full of the fear of man, who was full of a man-pleasing spirit, now is totally set free from all that by the coming of a mighty anointing upon him. And Peter is bold. Peter is bold. Peter is bold. What's happened is this. There's an overshadowing presence of the Holy Spirit upon him. And here's the wonderful thing. When you're overshadowed, you cast a shadow. Now, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but just believe me. When you're overshadowed, you cast a shadow. When you're overshadowed by the presence of His glory and the Spirit of God is overshadowing you, you cast a shadow. And Peter would walk down the street, and the people would carry out all the sick and lay them there with the hope that as Peter walked down the street, listen to this, the Bible says it this way, it's in this way in the Greek, I checked it this afternoon, his shadow would overshadow them. What was Peter casting a shadow from? The light was the light of Jesus by the Holy Spirit that had overshadowed him. And because he was overshadowed with the glory of the Lord, he cast a healing shadow. I'm telling you people, here's the issue with that the Lord's saying in my spirit. Am I willing to allow Jesus to get so big till I'm so totally overshadowed and totally consumed in Him. Only when I'm overshadowed by Him can I cast a shadow of power that will heal others. See, while I'm casting my own shadow is not going to accomplish much. But when I've allowed Him to overshadow me and engulf me, then He is the light that casts a shadow through me. His glory casts the shadow that then touches others. But it's not going to happen to those who are not willing to let be overshadowed. See, Mary had to yield to that word. She didn't just hear the word and say, okay, I'll run off and go and get it done. No, when she responded to Gabriel's word in this way, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Brother Thomas said on Saturday and yesterday and then today in my hearing, he said there's something about the key to this renewal is humility. And I'm telling you, that it's that submitted spirit that yields to Him. It's I don't understand it all. All I know that God is coming and He wants to so totally overshadow and overwhelm us till we aren't concerned about our own shadow anymore, that we just want His shadow to be cast and to touch people. I mean, I'm tired of making my own shadow, but His shadow is so powerful. See, when He is allowed to be the light and the glory, then His shadow. He overshadows. It's not me. Do you understand? It's not me. But when He overshadows me, then I can cast a shadow that releases His glory, His anointing, His power on people. And that's what He wants to do to us. He wants to overshadow us so that we can cast a shadow that meets the needs of people around us, that heals the brokenhearted, that heals the wounded spirits, that heals the sick around, that ministers healing and deliverance to those. Years ago I had a dream. And in the dream I first flew, and then I walked on water, and it was a wonderful experience. And then the next part of the dream was about walking past a stadium packed with people in Colombia, in the city of Cali in Colombia. And I was walking past the stadium with a man, and I said, why are all the people in the stadium? And he said, well, they heard that you walked on water, and fear overwhelmed me. And I thought, I can't go in there. What can I do? And that was repeated three times on three consecutive days. I walked past the stadium packed full of people. And I said, why are all the people there? And he said, they heard that you walked on water. See, God's wanting to do signs and wonders that's going to draw the crowds together. But our problem is that we're so self-conscious, we'll think they're coming to see us. See, that was where I was thinking, they're coming to me. What can I do? And God spoke to me and He said, you're so self-conscious. I asked him, Lord, why couldn't I go into the stadium? He said, you're so self-conscious. And so I was driving a truck down to Florida when we were dealing with this. And so all the rest of the way to Florida for 19 hours driving to Orlando, I just let the Holy Spirit just move upon me and work in me. And on the way back, I said, Lord, I don't even feel different. I don't feel a great boldness on me. I said, what is the answer to the self-consciousness of the church? And this is what He said to me that day. I'll never forget it. He said, when the anointing comes that I'm going to pour out on the church, when it comes, the magnitude of the anointing is going to be so great that it is going to completely overwhelm all of our self-consciousness, all of our fear of man. Amen. See, there's an anointing that's so much bigger. But I'm telling you, what I'm hearing in my spirit is we've got to be willing to be overshadowed. See, John's words, "he must increase and I must decrease," are great, you know, religious words, but unless you can actually do it, you miss out on the glory. See, John didn't understand. Man, let me pack up here. Woo! The Lamb of God is here. It's come to bear away the sin of the world. Why would I still want to be baptizing people? Man, let's get with the program. The Son of God is here. Jesus, where do I sign on the line? I want to be your first disciple. Man. And he kept on baptizing. Kept on doing his ministry. It's like the Lord saying, it's time to lay all that down and allow the Holy Ghost to so overshadow you that people are not aware of you. And if people are aware of you, you're just totally unaware of the opinions of people and all the rest of it. Boy, I'm ready for that. I'm so tired of worrying about me. I'm so tired of being conscious of me. And I'm so ready to be so aware of Jesus, the Son of God, by His Holy Spirit, so engulfing me and so overwhelming there that people can see Jesus only. I mean, even Moses and Elijah, God wouldn't let them have a competing place with His Son. So do you think He's going to let you have a place of competition with His Son, Jesus, if He wouldn't allow Moses and Elijah to have the same platform with Jesus? And I'm telling you, this is a day when we dare not rise up and puff ourselves up and act important like, because I know this. Oh, God spoke to Bev. I'm telling you, Saul missed it. Saul could have walked in the glory, but Saul missed it because he didn't wait on Samuel. He didn't obey the word of the prophet to him. He couldn't wait. And so Saul went ahead and he offered the sacrifice. And Samuel came to him and said, because you've done that, God has rejected you. And He's going to raise up another one in your place. And I'm telling you, if we're not going to allow God to do that work, He'll just move on and find somebody else. Find somebody else who doesn't think themselves so important, who doesn't think highly of themselves. And I know that's a word. I mean, He's got to be the overshadowing one. He's got to be the only one that's visible. And it's not time for us to boast in well, we're the church that is having the glorious Friday night renewal meeting. So what? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the overshadowing presence of the Holy Ghost. See? It's Him. It's Him. Ha! Ha! Overshadowed. Ha! Ha! Overshadowed. 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 He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I was asking the Lord about this evening. I said, okay, Lord, how do I get there? What does it mean? And He just said this to me. He said, it's the pursuit of the place of intimacy. It's the pursuit of the place of intimacy. We have been programmed to pursue the place of visibility. The secret place. The secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High is the determinative factor on abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Did you hear that? The secret place of the Most High. Ha! The secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. Ha, 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 ha. Oh. I'm telling you, there's a call going out in the earth today. And the call is to the place of communion in the bridal chamber. The call that is going out into the church is that to that place of communion at His banqueting table, where His banner over us is love. It's coming to know Him as the lover. This is getting beyond knowing Him as a, you know, as a textbook, you know, truth about Him. This is coming to know Him. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him. The church in Laodicea was doing a lot of good things. I mean, they had prospered. They were doing real well externally. But what did Jesus say about the church in Laodicea? You're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. And here is the challenging thing. They basically had left Jesus out of the proceedings. Because he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to the Laodicean church. He said, for all that you've got one thing missing. I ain't in the midst of you. I'm on the outside knocking on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and will what? Sup with him and he with me. He's talking about sweet communion and fellowship. He's talking about overshadowed with his presence. He's talking about just entering into the secret place of the Most High. He's talking about just communing with him. And listen to me, this is not some big religious quest. It's got to be simple. It's got to be real simple. But it does mean this. It does mean putting away all distractions. See, the thing that's going to rob you from the secret place is just distractions. Because who you are inside has been created for intimate communion and fellowship with your Creator. And the only thing that is going to keep you from that is whatever distractions the enemy can use to keep you from that place of intimacy. Whether it's the distraction of worrying about what people think, whether it's the distraction of all the things like Martha that you feel have to be done and you've got a false sense of importance and in priorities in your life, or whatever it is, it's the distractions that keep you from that place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. The shadow. The shadow. Of the Almighty. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Ha! Ha! The shadow. The shadow of the Almighty. Overshadowed. A cloud came and overshadowed them. Overshadowed. Lord, we welcome your presence. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, as an overshadowing presence. We ask you to come and manifest the presence of God in the Shekinah cloud of the glory of God, settling in upon us like a heavy fog. A heavy fog. A heavy fog. So that you can't see anything around you because the fog is so thick that you can't see anything else. Lord, wrap us up in that cloud of your presence tonight. Overshadow us. Overshadow us. Now, I don't want you to make any decisions. I don't want you to do, you know, this is, you don't have to, well, okay, I'm not calling you to just, yeah, to, you know, make decisions about not yielding to distractions and reorganizing priorities and so on. No, all of that stuff becomes works. All I want you to do is to yield to His presence tonight. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. He wants to change whatever needs to be changed in you. As you yield to Him, yield to Him, yield to Him. He's spoken this to me. Some of you have been hearing His voice, but you didn't know how to interpret that voice, calling you aside to the place of intimate communion. Some of you haven't developed a sensitivity to that voice, and so the voice has been there, and you just weren't aware of it. It hasn't, as it were, sunk in to your consciousness that there's been a drawing. In fact, some of you interpret it as a hunger, and so you went to the refrigerator and got a bowl of ice cream, and you didn't realize that what it was the Holy Spirit drawing you into the secret place. I'm telling you, we often interpret the drawing of the Spirit as hunger pangs inside. And then we miss it because we think in the natural. We like the disciples, when Jesus spoke about the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees, all they could think about was bread. He's trying to talk to you about spiritual hunger, going to the bread of life, and we misinterpret the spiritual hunger pangs for physical hunger pangs, and so we go and get a big old hamburger. And we stifle the voice. I'm telling you, people, He wants to make us sensitive to the Holy Spirit calling us to that place of spiritual renewal and spiritual nourishment. And sometimes it does mean just leaving out a meal. The fasting is not a legalistic thing anymore, but it's just the Holy Spirit suddenly saying, I sure would like to feed you with spiritual food instead of all that glob that you've been eating. And that, not a big deal. Not a big deal. But it's receiving spiritual nourishment instead of the physical food that you normally have used to stifle the voice of the Spirit drawing and calling you to the place of intimacy. Now, Lord, I pray that You'll sharpen our ears, that we'll quit misinterpreting the Holy Spirit calling us to intimacy as hunger pangs. Lord, and some of us need to put a sign on the refrigerator that reminds us when we go there, this is not what I'm calling you to. I'm telling you, God's doing something tonight in us that's deeper than any one of us is going to understand in this meeting. I know there's an anointing here tonight to overshadow us. I have such a confidence in the Word. I have a confidence in the anointing. I have a confidence in what I've heard in my spirit this afternoon. And that's just, it's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with the fact that God has set this meeting. God has an appointment. God has scheduled this week. God wants to do something powerful and wonderful here. And if He has to take me out of the way to get it accomplished, I'm happy for that. I just know that He wants to do something. I tell you what, please hear this, and this is not to pump you up and so on, but the Lord is so pleased with the pursuit in this body of going on and pressing into the anointing. And the seeds have been sown for what you are going to harvest. The seeds have been sown. This is not a reward, this is a harvest. There's a difference to be doing something for reward. That's a work. But sowing seeds for a harvest is part of God's creation. And you've been sowing seeds of setting your hearts to seek the Lord, of pushing in and pressing into the anointing. You've been sowing seeds of laying aside other things to get alone with the Lord. You've been sowing seeds of making this place available on a Friday night for the Spirit of God to move so that lives can be touched in this community. And God said, for all the seeds that have been sown, there is coming a great harvest. You're going to reap the harvest of His manifest presence, of His overshadowing. He has come. And the voice is crying out from the midst of the cloud saying, this is My beloved Son. Ha! Hear Him! Vision. He's going to give us vision tonight. Vision. You say, what kind of vision? This is what I'm hearing in my spirit. A vision of Himself. Because I'm telling you this, when you have a vision of Himself, of Him, then He can do through you all that He wants to do in the world. If He gives you a vision of the world, what you're going to probably do is go and try and do it in your own strength. And He wants to give you a vision of Himself, because through you, He can accomplish His purpose in the world. Kuriatastakia, kuriatastamarakia. He's calling to the mountain. Come away, my beloved. Come away, my bride. Come away, O busy one. Come away, O busy one. You're too busy. Come away. Come away. Come away. Ha. 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 Woo. Come away, my fair one. Let me see your form in the cleft of the rock. Kuriatastakiyata, kuriatastakuriata marikiyatastakuria. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.